Odyssey.
AD on the drive. Rims out. Middleton with the board. They got plenty of time. 4 seconds. Up for Giannis. Makes the catch. Middleton. Count it! At the buzzer! Cash!
It's You Better You Bet with Nick Costos and Ken Barkley on the BetQL Audio Network.
Thank you to ESPN for the highlight. Nick Costos is off here on this Friday. Mark Melusis in for Nick. Ken Barkley, of course. Talk a little bit about the association after last night's victory by the Milwaukee Bucks, staving off elimination at home against the Brooklyn Nets, winning that game going away. At one point in time, fourth quarter, five-point game before Milwaukee responded with a big 14-0 run. And that was pretty much game, set, match the rest of the way. At about 6 minutes to go in the fourth quarter, not much of a pulse left for Brooklyn. And we're marching on to a game seven tomorrow night out in Brooklyn, Ken. And you know, I guess before we get into kind of, you know, takeaways from game six and maybe what you can lean into for a game seven, I want to tell you that we're sponsored by Bet Rivers Sportsbook. Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday of this month, receive a 20% live profit boost by simply logging into your Bet Rivers account. Download the Bet Rivers app in the Apple App Store. So, Kenny, you were mentioning in the first segment how good of a night you had, right? So you were like, what am I missing? Because I don't see what this line is, what it should be. You were all over Milwaukee, as you mentioned. You know, prop-wise, I guess, what do you take away from Game 6 that you can maybe look at a Game 7 tomorrow night in Brooklyn? When we look at the line right now, the Milwaukee Bucks for that Game 7, they force a Game 7, minus 5 was the line. Over or under was 220.5. What do you take out of Game 6 that you can look at for a Game 7?
Sure, I think what we already saw in game six, and I think what we'll see a lot of in game seven, and maybe this doesn't affect side, and well, it affects the total a little bit, is just isolation basketball with Brooklyn and to a certain extent with Milwaukee, where it was like Giannis in isolation, Chris Middleton in isolation. Bucks moved the ball a little bit better than the Nets did last night, but you look at rotations and shot distribution, right, and the number of people that each team trusts is gradually dwindling, basically, like the number of people that each team thinks can stay on the court, to be perfectly honest, is narrowing rapidly, and especially for Brooklyn. Brooklyn basically played six guys last night. I mean, really, like, honestly, they basically played six players. So when you do that, when you minimize what your bench can be, you know, didn't see a lot of Claxton last night, for example, would be one guy. Mike James, didn't see a lot of him last night. When you shorten that rotation to that degree and you're Brooklyn, like, look at the minutes logged the last few games, right? So I think I would question, like, Brooklyn fatigue coming into game seven, which stinks because I need them to win. I have a bunch of series on them, a bunch of Eastern Conference on them, a bunch of NBA title on them. I need them to win the game anyway, but I would worry about fatigue just based on minutes distribution. So that's kind of one thing, is just like, who is going to play in game seven? And for Brooklyn, if they were this short rotation wise in what I thought would be almost an empty the bench game and like try stuff, like it was actually a weird time to thin the bench, because like Durant's got to be dead. And I mean, took a ton of shots last night, but like obviously didn't look as good. And Harden's playing on one leg, but like, so we're gonna shorten the rotation, knowing 2 days later we probably have to go back and play again. Thought that was weird. But I think that in game seven, you'll see that really short Nets rotation, maybe six again. And like, literally, I think Durant, Harden, 48, if they can. I mean, I really think that's the expectation. So from a prop standpoint, we can do the Brooklyn part first. I'm curious if you agree with me, Moose. Like, they almost can't make the Durant numbers high enough, not because he's gonna be very efficient, not because he's going to score a ton of points, and we'll talk about the total in a little bit and game sevens and stuff like that. But like, I think the Durant props have to be enormous just because like the usage is going to be as high as we would see in any. So I know last night, and Rick, you can pop on here for a second if you want, just because you're going to be like my memory for some of this stuff. Durant props last night, off the top of your head, 34.5. Was that the points?
I think 35.5.
35.5, and then like I think it was 9.5 rebounds and like 5.5 assists, something like that. You'll at least see that again. You might see more on points, or you might see people bet the over if they open low, see juiced overs on 35.5, because just Moose, like, I took 30 shots last night. It's not going down as we go, and like 30 shots and free throw like frequency for a guy like that, like I think 35.5 might actually be low. He had a really inefficient game and basically almost got there last night.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're right about Durant. I think it's going to be 48 minutes unless it gets out of whack one way or the other. Then obviously that'll change. But
will they rest them? I mean, they're getting blown out. They're not resting them.
I get it. I'm more of a case. I mean, if you get to a point where they're getting their doors blown off, they're down by 25 points in the fourth quarter. I don't envision that happening. Right, six minutes left. I mean, Durant's going to come off the court. You're not going to continue to play him. You know, you're going to put up the white flag and say the game is over. That's where I was. Not if it's double digits, 6 minutes to go.
It has to be really late.
Right, correct. I mean, listen, Durant's going to take a ton of shots. You know the limitations of Harden. Here's the one question I look at James Harden is, offensively, he was severely limited. First game back, game five. He looked a little bit better game six. And then what's the expectation Saturday night that he's then going to take another step forward? We know he's not 100% healthy, but playing the amount of minutes that he's logged the last two games, what's the impact then on a game seven where you look at the limitations, what he has, and where he is physically with that hamstring? So he scored 16 in game six. What do you count on for James Harden? You know, to the point that you're making, Ken, about Durant. Yeah, I think Durant's going to go for 40-plus points. I mean, I think Durant's going to take every – there's guys on that team. Jeff Green came crashing back down to earth. He had 27 game right. five. He had 5 points in game six, right? You look at Joe Harris. Joe Harris outside the first two games, or really outside of game one, can't throw the ball in the proverbial ocean. So even though Joe Harris is going to be out there, the shot is not falling for Joe Harris, and I think everyone can see that. So I think Durant's going to take a ton of shots. If he's really, really efficient, I think Kevin Durant's going to give you, you know, 40-plus points. But at the least, I think he's going for 38, 39.
Yeah, I mean, he played 40 minutes last night, 32 points, 15 of 30 from the field. I believe the Nets only took about 80 shots last night, 81 shots. Durant took 30 of them, which is an insanely slow-paced game where he took a super high volume of shots. I think that is like a direct replica of what Game 7 is going to look like. So I think a good kind of benchmark there for expectations for him. Didn't make a free throw and shot 2 for 8 from three and still had 32. And like they were out of it and he was not that good. And he was just exhausted, I think, too. But I don't know how it's like that game six. I did not bet his over whatsoever. I actually probably would have bet the under if I bet anything on him for points yet last night, just because I thought it might be a blowout. I think I'm on his over. So just as one bet to look forward to in this, if we see 35.5 again, 34.5 for a Kevin Durant points, I think you have to bet over. I'm trying to think what I would bet it up to. Do you have a number in your head, Moose? If I said like at what, because I think you agree with me. You think Durant's going to score a lot of points. He's going to take a ton of shots at least and get to the line. I mean, made zero free throws last night. What number would you be like, nah, I'm not in anymore? Do you have a number in your head where it's like if it was blank and a half, you wouldn't bet it anymore?
I wouldn't bet it at 39.
I know. I'm like 38.5 is probably my stopping point. Even 37.5, I'd be like, okay. Like, all right, I'm good.
Yeah, you know, and
I mean, it's just there's the volume.
And honestly, if the odds are good, I'd probably take. I might actually talk myself into betting over 39 because I would. It would
you
be
wouldn't
kind
tell
of,
anybody though. You'd like well, keep right, it
I wouldn't tell
you
anybody, but Ken, it would be one of those ones where I wouldn't play it one way or the other because sure. I can't sit there and bet when it's really Kevin Durant and his band of merry men. I can't bet Durant under points. Like, yeah. But I wouldn't be comfortable betting him over 39 points. When you look at the line, Ken, I mentioned it, that the line in game six closed at, you know, Milwaukee home -5, and the total was sitting at 220.5. You look ahead to game seven line, the Bucks are a 1-point road dog. Juice to Milwaukee, they're -113 right now on that spread line, according to Bet Rivers, and the total is sitting at 215.
Yeah, and it's funny, right, because of what we just talked about with Durant and volume and our expectations for him in the game. That would be one of the only overs that I would ever bet in the game tomorrow night on Saturday, because game sevens have a nasty habit of being incredibly low scoring, and there's a lot of data that supports this. If you're looking at previous games in the series, right, and you mentioned the total, which I have a consensus is 215 right now for sure, and you're like, what, you know, last game was 222, like 222, and you know, in the games Harden played, especially the last two, like I think we saw 222 both games, and then I think we saw high two teens in the games that he missed. It's been definitely game four, I think we saw that, but like, okay, why is it 215 now? Like, why did it drop so much? There are insane historical trends involving scoring in game sevens where basically the total frequently opens significantly lower. And then despite the fact that it opens significantly lower, if you go like second round or later, I was in a chat, somebody actually gathered this. And I see this every year. Someone does like the yeoman's work, basically, of going back and updating the game seven stuff. where it's like round two or later, last 25 years, game seven, like the under is literally like 75% or something to that degree. And I can bring it up in terms of like an exact number. But I think what that speaks to is just the approach from a prop standpoint that you can have too. And I'll give you my thoughts on side and total. Maybe we do those next segment. But like, again, just props, like there's a correlation here, right? Which is basically like, okay, all right, perfect. So I have the numbers right here. Yeah. Oh my God. This is like an insane. Yeah. I think it's the last 25 years, game seven, round two or later, the under is 22-7 in game sevens.
22-7
to the under. Yep. And that's with totals. And you can go back and, cause I've looked at, especially the last 5 years, we all got it. We all know this one. So it opens way less. Like, so you're dealing with even deflated totals anyway, and they just can't make it low enough. I mean, they really can't. And I'll tell you what, this is the exact series where I would buy into that. Like, you watch a lot of those, speaking of like takeaways from game six, what a slog every possession was in that game. How much running was there? How could you run with James Harden on your team, first of all? But like, how much transition was there? And in the half court, how tough was the shot making? Durant's covered by PJ Tucker and occasionally Giannis. And then on the other end, Giannis is guarded by Blake Griffin. Like, what? Of course it's a slog. And Holiday and Middleton have been terrible the whole series. Like, of course it's a disaster. And the pace was insanely slow. I think my question, whether it's props, how to approach props for game seven, or the total, which I like the under, spoiler alert, how is it going to be different, Moose? I think that's what I'm trying to struggle to figure out. Like, insanely low scoring game last night. Game five should have probably gone under, went over on free throws at the end of the game. Like, how is it going to be different in this game? Like, why wouldn't I bet the under?
No, I get it. The only reason why I'd say if it would be different would be something I drew from when Steve Nash addressed the media. It was talked about pace of play, sure, that the Brooklyn Nets need to pick up their pace of play, even with a limited James Harden. And that is, you know, picking up the possessions. You mentioned they attempted 81 shots. Durant took 30 of them last night. I do think, and I don't know if they physically can do it, Ken.
Right. That's my question.
And that's fair. But I do think it's going to be emphasized by Nash and company that they do have to pick up the pace of play in a game seven. And I would think then that would mean more shots. That would be the contrarian view, is that you saw Nash, especially early on that fourth quarter, ESPN showed him on the sideline. Harden's bringing the ball up and he's screaming at him, pick up the pace, pick up the pace. Let's go, let's go, let's go. That to me is going to be something that's emphasized by the Brooklyn Nets going into a game seven, is trying to get the pace of play in their favor as compared to maybe the slogfest that favors Milwaukee.
Sure. Yeah, well, I'm glad you brought that up, because I did see Nash's comments about that. I think they're really interesting. And I think this is such a common handicapping issue, I think, which is the value of information versus the value of what you've actually seen take place before.
Sure. Right?
So like, you have like on paper. So the England match is going on right now. Tyler, type in our chat what the score is, or Moose, if you have it on. I just don't have it on my phone right now. But, you know, Nick and I are on opposite sides of this England match.
Nothing.
Still scoreless. So
still scoreless in the 78th minute.
Okay. So we're looking pretty good, but I know nothing about international soccer outside of parachuting in for these tournaments. I looked at England's results. I looked at expected goals. I looked at kind of like the philosophy they generally play with in the game, like what's actually happened. And I was like, I have to bet the under in this match. Like, England doesn't play high scoring matches in these situations ever. And the under is generally very valuable. And Scotland is kind of their, you know, yeah, they're on a handicap for them for why I think it's going to be a low scoring game. But then you have like, you read about stuff and it's like, well, England wants to press. And they want to like get Raheem Sterling going. They want to get, you know, their young players going, Phil Foden going, Mason Mount, like, you know, they want to get on the attack. And it's a struggle. I would ignore the fact like what the result was of this game. It's not that I won and the other side lost. It's that there were these two competing things. And I think in each game, you have to try to figure out like which one do you believe and which one don't you believe? And is it worth making an adjustment, or is it worth not betting, is the other thing. The other kind of tool in your tool belt, you could just not bet, and the book has to book a line no matter what. They don't have that choice of passing. I'll just tell you, like, I get why Nash is saying that. And he's right. Like, Harden can initiate the offense faster, right? Like, he can, not like he's going to be Ben Simmons off a make, just pushing it up the court in like 2 seconds, but like they can initiate faster to get a better quality shot. But like, can they run playing six guys off the bench? And we've been every other day now for three games. Like, there's just no way. Like, unless he goes deep into the bench, I have not one clue how they can run in that game. And I think if it gets up and down, I think Milwaukee would love that. Like, I think Milwaukee would be so happy with that.
We'll continue the NBA conversation next. You better, you bet. BetQL Audio Network.
It's You Better You Bet on the BetQL Audio Network. For the latest line movement and edges to beat the spread, download the BetQL app today.